This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hadfield. Joining me this week are Tina Amini.
Hey.
Sam Claiborne.
I'm joined.
Justin Davis.
Scoop.
And special guest joining us this week, specifically joining Tina this week, is John Davison, publisher of IGN.com, and also once upon a time was editor-in-chief of Electronic Gaming Monthly, a publication we revisit often on this show. Of course, John, you spent lots of time at what official PlayStation Magazine and Metacritic and Rolling Stone, and then eventually ended up back at here at IGN. I think you've been with us for a few years now.
Nearly three now.
Wow. Oh my gosh, how time flies. Well, welcome to the show. It's long overdue, and I think it's only fitting that since we have you here, we dig up one of the old EGM issues that you presided over, and we have that ready to go, waiting in the wings. But first, we find ourselves on the cusp of event season. In spite of the fact that there is no E3 happening, video game publishers still want to tell you about the games they have coming out later in the year and into next year. So, got IGN Summer of Gaming going on for its, third year, Tina? Third straight year running, going on all month long. And that, the sort of umbrella will include all the events. So we've got Summer Game Fest happening on Thursday, June 9th. The Xbox and Bethesda showcase is on Sunday, June 12th, and then there are other events here and there sort of scattered in between. So we
don't
begin
forget
with
IGN Expo on June 10th.
I'm sorry, the IGN Expo on June 10th?
Yes, that's an important date.
That is an important date. Thank you for reminding me. So we begin with an email from one of our listeners. So let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Already? Listeners, remember, you can always reach us. You can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like Nick from Indiana did. Nick says, with reveal season right around the corner, I'm curious what games everyone is most excited to learn more about. Are there any dream reveals you might believe beyond the horizon? I personally would love to see anything on the next title in the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order series, even if it might still be a ways out. And even though it's my belief God of War Ragnarok will be delayed, I'm still anxious to finally get a firm release date. So with showcases like Xbox Bethesda and IGN Summer of Gaming beginning to take shape, what is that one game you can't wait to hopefully hear more about? Let's start with the aforementioned God of War Ragnarok. Sony does not have an event planned or announced as of this taping, as of 2:35 p.m. Pacific time on Thursday, May 26th. Although that could change at any moment. Although we did see today some encouraging news that God of War Ragnarok is still on track to be released this year because it was raided in South Korea. which usually means, you know, I mean, why would the game be rated in South Korea if it were nowhere near being completion?
Maybe they're just only going to release it there.
Man, that would be a big twist.
Just a test launch. Yeah.
Do you know what the correlation is between ESRB ratings and release dates? Like, we play a game on GameScoop sometime that involves them. Is it generally in your, like, you know, sense, like, that means they're, you know, months away or 5 months away or something like that?
I mean, well, yeah, I think it's... So another piece of puzzle is that retail listings for some God of War Ragnarok merchandise, including some figures, were unearthed from an online store in the UK. And they were listed for release in September.
Toys leak everything, man.
So I mean, if it's being rated by organizations like the ESRB, it's not hard for me to believe it's only a few months out, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. So okay, I think.
Or we're going to be drinking God of War Pepsi before playing God of War.
Well, that's true.
It happened with Halo. We had those Halo Doritos like a year before the Halo Infinite came out.
Yeah. We can start with Sony. You know, even though Sony doesn't have a state of play announced at this time, God of War is like the big one. That's the next thing that's coming down the pipeline, and I don't know. It looks like maybe it will actually make it out by the end of this year. But after that, what's next? What does Sony have next? There are things that they announced at their state of play last September, which you guys got to talk about without me. Because I was on paternity leave. And there were lots of exciting announcements like, what, Spider-Man 2, Wolverine, the KOTOR remake.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tina, what do you think comes after God of War Ragnarok?
I mean, it's kind of unpredictable in the sense of like Wolverine is so far out, right? Like, there's no way, if they do have a showcase this year, presumably it'd be way too early for Wolverine, because we only saw that small, I think, like cinematic snapshot of the game. But we did see Forspoken in the last state of play. Well,
that's right. That's right.
And I think that would have its original release date. It would have been released at this point. That's so right. It's very possible, because it got pushed to October. Very possible we'll see that one. I think that definitely feels like it's on the horizon. And then I believe, like, you know, Bungie's working on an expansion for Destiny. So I imagine that'll get some airtime, maybe some indies. They just had a one of their investor calls, their financial calls, and they talked through both TV shows that they have new deals around. So I don't know, if they do have a showcase, maybe they'll mix it up with some of their TV properties, since they're all attached to video games as well, of course. And then, you know, some indies as well. And they mentioned that they're kind of doubling, tripling, whatevering down on their indie investment too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's actually some smaller games that are already announced that we're still waiting on, right? Like Stray.
Yeah.
Yes.
We always remember the one with the cat.
That one's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How could we forget? And then the one that's just rumored, although it's been rumored for a long time, is The Last of Us Remake. So there's The Last of Us Remake, and then also the promised multiplayer component of The Last of Us Part 2 that still hasn't arrived.
Oh, yeah.
What, John, what's your take on The Last of Us Remake? Personally, if you could remake any game, that wouldn't be very high on my list, just because it's not that old and it still looks great.
They already did it once. But I do think that as a theme, right, there's games that we're looking forward to and there's games that we think are going to happen, right? And I don't think they're necessarily the same things this year. I think this year it's going to be a whole bunch of remakes from everybody and collections. I think we're going to see it from Microsoft as well, in particular. And then there was the news this week about Sony doubling down on new IP again. So I think we're going to see a lot of game names that we don't recognize. I think there's a phase that we're entering where it's not sequels for a while. It's booting new it's like new platform, but what, coming up on two and a bit years into this platform, and we're still kind of like milking old franchises a little bit. And I think the time has come for new stuff. I think we're going to see plundering the depths of history. I want to see Sony go back and reboot Siphon Filter and reboot Twisted Metal. And like, they're sitting on all these franchises that's what I would be excited about, but I don't think it's what we're going to get.
That's interesting. Sam, would you think that would be a good thing, seeing a bunch of games that we aren't familiar with that are not sequels?
Yeah, I think that's important. I think it's necessary for Sony, but I also think that there's a couple of like surefire series that are just up for it. And, you know, one of those is Uncharted. We just have no idea what the next Uncharted situation is going to be. There was a movie that just came out. Like, there is an Uncharted game in production. Like, there just is. And, like, when do we hear about that? Well, lots of times we hear about that, like, years early. So if there's, like, a cinematic trailer that's teasing, you know, a younger Uncharted lead or something like that, that would not be out of the realm of you know, surprise for me. There's also, I think... Weirdly, I expect a Ghost of Tsushima sequel faster than other things. I think that is a game that could, you know, ride its recent success and probably get something. If you know, if we were gonna hype people on a game that's years away, which is what E3 season is about, that would be one that I would actually expect.
Do you think Sucker Punch is all in on that franchise now? Do you think they'll ever go back to Infamous or Sly Cooper?
Well, that's part of my reasoning is that I think this was their favorite game to work on and like a critical success and a fan success. And like, I think they would want to do more of it. I would expect, and you know, I would want that too. Infamous is another one where it's like, that could be a surprise game, but it doesn't have the clout that Uncharted or I think Ghost have of like universal recognition. That was a kind of a underdog game that I did like, you know, aspects of that series and would like to play another one, but I don't think that's one where, you know, the clamor for it to come back. Another one, and I know this has its detractors, is Days Gone. Like, that's just a series.
You think they're going to try that again?
I think it did.
So
I got bad reviews and then it's beloved. Like, that's a weird situation.
Sure.
And like, what else is that studio going to do? Like, they, if they're like, well, we sold a bunch of games, but we have a bunch of fans, it doesn't matter what the scores were at that point, right?
I do also wonder if they're going to make, if they do a showcase, like, I do also wonder if they're going to make a big deal out of like, we have a release coming and we have like this many units we've just shipped, because that's still a huge story. It's not the most glitzy and glamorous one for a showcase. So maybe they'll leave that out or have it be like the tweet that follows up or, you know, the blog post that gets published afterwards. But we also just heard about a little bit more about their anticipating more units to ship soon out of their recent financial call. So possible. People definitely want that kind of positive news.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think we've mentioned every ongoing Sony series now, so somebody's going to be right.
That's how we get these predictions, right? We just say all of them.
Yep.
I guess We haven't mentioned Horizon, so maybe some DLC for Horizon Forbidden West.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry.
But we do know about a VR Horizon update that we can hear more about, right?
Yeah, I think that we're going to get 35 minutes of God of War 2, and then we're going to get 15 minutes of a million other sort of smaller things all crammed together there in the first, in the opening of, you know, some hypothetical Sony showcase, should it come to pass. You know, PSVR 2, like, is it too early for them to be talking about it at E3? Are they going to blow it out and have, you know, show off the 20 plus games that, you know, are rumored, or maybe they actually confirmed are sort of incoming for that platform? You know, I don't know. And then, yeah, I think Horizon DLC is the time is going to be right for that as well.
Here's a way to solve the God of War release date issue. They can just release God of War 2 Part 1.
Because that worked really well for Sony and Final Fantasy.
Favorite tactic.
It works for movies.
Totally.
I'll tell you what I want to see is Ape Escape revived. Please more bring back Ape Escape, you cowards.
More than just re-releasing Ape Escape on all new PlayStation Plus. Actual new game.
Maybe that's what they'll do. Just lean into that.
Yeah.
What about a gritty Patapon reboot?
Patapon's already a little bit gritty. I don't hate the idea. I mean, I know you're just spoofing and goofing, Tina, but I don't mind the idea of like using this gameplay telemetry data of like what retro games and classics are people flocking to in order to actually make business decisions about like, maybe we should hand over Ape Escape to some indie developer. Like, I don't know, what was the studio that made Astrobot, like Team Asobi, like, you know, they're working on something. Like, I'm not saying it's Ape Escape, but like, that's the caliber of like, I wish studios did more of like, take their B and C tier stuff, hand it to somebody that's like talented and can do something cool with it and just see what happens.
Give it to Mark Cerny and the Knack team.
What's the Knack team doing?
Yeah. Well, while we wait to see if a PlayStation State of Play happens at some point in the near future, there is Summer Game Fest happening on June 9th. That's Thursday. And there's a list of partners on the website, so we can sort of start to piece together what is possible that we might see. One of them is Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers has Gotham Knights coming up this fall. That's a game we got a big gameplay look at recently, and it was a little, I think reactions were mixed. So I think they have a little bit of an uphill battle to try and get more people on board with that game. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they'd want to show it again. But what about Hogwarts Legacy? That's supposed to be out this holiday, right?
Yep, December.
Tina, you think we're going to see more of that?
I mean, it makes sense because the holiday is right around the corner, but there's also, you know, a lot of negative feelings around this franchise, and mm-hmm. maybe making a big deal out of it on a stage show, if we're still calling them stage shows. I mean, they do happen on a stage. They're just not ones that we can see in person right now. But yeah, if they, I don't know that they would want to make it like a prominent part of their run of show. But I imagine they would want to acknowledge and still market this game. So that's got to be a tricky one for them on their side, like figuring out how to navigate that.
Mm-hmm. Did everybody see the, and I'm not, this is not a joke, the ASMR video that they released?
What?
Well, no. Who released? WB?
WB released for this game. Yeah, it's 15 minutes of a slow moving rainstorm over Hogwarts.
Oh, very cool. I thought you were going to say it was like the sorting hat.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a really
mumbling. It's
whispering spells.
That would be weird.
It's Dobby whispering and chewing on hair.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. I like the rain landscape better. Go back to that.
Yeah, and I don't know why they had to brand it ASMR, whatever. I don't want to get
into
that. But it was the rainstorm like coming over slowly had showed off the weather effects. And we know it's an open world game, and that's a big part of open world games, right? And it was a long day-night cycle too. And like, you know, this game is not really a Sammy game or anything, but like I like seeing that stuff, and that was like a cool way to show off this game. I just thought it was neat. Mm-hmm.
Beyond Hogwarts Legacy, Warner Brothers has Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, and then Wonder Woman, which was just revealed at the Game Awards in December, which is another Jeff Keighley presentation. So, I don't know, John, do you think like the sort of he'll be able to sort of continue revealing little bits of that game, even though it's probably very far off?
I actually disagree with Tina. I think they're going to go all in on Hogwarts. I think that's going to be their big thing. Warner Brothers just made a big noise about how they're doubling down on Harry Potter as a franchise with CEO and everything. And I think they have something ready to go that's new, that sits outside what people know in terms of that franchise. I think they're going to make the loudest noise about that game and make it all about the game and the new story. And it's separate from the movies and the books. And I think the attitude will be, not even acknowledging that there's been a problem around it. I think it's just going to be, there are more than enough fans of this franchise, and this is fan service for them, and screw the rest of you.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they would lean into the elements that separate it from the rest of the franchise, because that's the subtle way of suggesting, like, this is its own thing. This is coming from developers that have no association with J.K. Rowling and with the original works. So I imagine that might be a potential subtle way of leaning into it.
But to answer your actual question, no, I don't think we'll see Wonder Woman.
Okay. Because, we saw like a title. We've seen a title for that one.
Yeah, that's all we've seen.
Yeah.
We know it's the Shadow of War Mordor team. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll be cool.
And I hope that series is also continuing in some format. I mean, that's one, like, if I had a wish list of like something I want teased that's years away, which again, good summer season thing to expect. We'd love to see what's going on with the Lord of the Rings Warner Brothers action game. Mm-hmm.
EA is another partner for Summer Game Fest. EA has Dead Space Remake coming up in January that already has a release date. They've said on a financial call, they said to expect a Need for Speed entry this fall sometime, even though that hasn't been officially announced yet. And then there's this Skate 4 that was, a couple of years ago. They just announced that it was happening.
Yep. It got Metroid Prime Forward.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, not even, wasn't it like
not
just
even
a
that.
Verbal announcement? Well, yeah. They didn't even have the title for it. Yeah.
No logo.
And they were really, but they were so explicit about like, we heard you, please stop.
Yeah.
Please stop. We are making it. All right. Now leave us alone. Like that was their message. Like you can stop the email campaign.
I hope they didn't do the old Damon Hatfield DJ trick was when I used to DJ in San Francisco and people would come up and request something that I didn't want to play. I would always just say
yes,
sure. And then I just wouldn't play it. Cause that would get them to leave me alone. Cause if I told them no, they like try to like argue and be like, here, I have it on my phone. It's on Spotify. Just play it. Well, it's this whole thing. And so I would just say, sure. And then they would just leave me alone.
Did EA actually announce that they're doing an EA play? Did they actually get confirmed it?
I think they confirmed that they aren't.
Their logo was on the Summer Games Fest site, right?
They're listed as a partner.
Yeah. But yeah, no official EA play, so it won't be like all of their titles. Yeah. It'll be one or two inclusions in Keeley's showcase. Yeah.
And if you think about what EA needs right now, right? They just said that they're considering merging or selling. They're like been struggling, you know, on the sports side. Like the Madden community has been mad at them about franchise mode since the dawn of time. Everyone's pissed about whatever's going on with FIFA. They've not really shipped anything outside of, you know, like they need to bring out more than anyone else. EA needs to bring out the hits. We need to finally see something on Mass Effect. We need to find, they've been talking about Dragon Age for how long now? Like, just show something that's not, you know, walking past a window or whatever the last thing was.
Yeah. It's just people working in office. And trust us, they're working on something Dragon Age related.
I mean, EA is, you know, like they get voted the most evil company in the world. And I don't want to minimize or like marginalize the people that have frustrations about EA. But like, you know, give me a break. Like the hate that that company gets is outsized against, you know, they're just a big company making big video games. And I've always sort of, they're less predictable and more interesting to me than like an Activision. Like, is Activision going to have Call of Duty this year? Boy, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, Activision sort of plays the hits with Guitar Hero and Tony Hawk and Call of Duty year after year. Whereas EA, you know, they do have the BioWares and they do have these other developers that are doing things that are more interesting to me personally as a gamer. And, they do have a little bit more of a successful indie game label. And so I've always found them a little bit harder to like pin down. Like that company for being a big multinational, multi-billion dollar company seems to be a little bit less risk averse than, you know, their peer Activision. And so, you know, I don't know, like they have more ability to surprise me at an event like Summer Game Fest than some other companies of their size.
What I would love to see from them is Battlefront 3, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I've always had a soft spot for Star Wars: The Old Republic, the MMO. Like it was a giant BioWare game. Even if it was rebooting that game in Unreal 5 or something, so that it's like a gorgeous Star Wars game. I mean, you got all this stuff happening around Star Wars right now with the High Republic, and they're slowly recanonizing old extended universe stuff, and you know, the KOTOR stuff that's happening, if they rebooted that game or sequeled that game, that would be exciting. They did have a job listing recently where that franchise was listed as something that they, I don't know, it was really ambiguous. It was like, you might be working on this or something. I can't remember how, it wasn't definitively we're hiring for this game.
Right.
It was more like, hey, you know, BioWare makes games like this and this. And that was one of the ones that they listed, which was sort of unusual given that, you know, it has a passionate following, but it doesn't get talked about very much.
Yeah.
So that's the tactic to get us journalists off their back, because they know that we look for those things and report on it.
Those aren't even the only Star Wars games that we know that they're working on. We know Respawn's working on the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order. They're going to help out with that tactical game that's going to be an XCOM like, and then there's also the first person shooter that's supposed to be like Dark Forces, right? So there's a lot that they could show to sort of earn some goodwill, I think.
And who knows? I mean, by that time we will have been through, because right now as we're recording this is Star Wars Celebration, and at that point we will be through Star Wars Celebration. So who knows what reveals will come out of there too?
It's very true.
It's a very, very good point. There's Capcom. Capcom has a couple of things that are coming out imminently in June. They've got their Capcom Fighting Collection and then Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak. Those are both out in June. You might want to just remind everybody about that. Not too late to get your pre-orders in now. Mm-hmm. They've also announced Street Fighter VI, but haven't shown it, right?
Indeed. They showed the logo, and then there was a bunch of drama over the logo because it looked remarkably similar to, I believe, a stock image. And so there was a lot of back and forth with that. I highly suspect that that will be on Jeff Keighley's show. I think he even may have, like, when the logo was revealed or something about it was revealed, I think he may have done one of his cutesy, you know, emoji tweets or something. So that's what got my speculation going on that one. So I suspect we might see it there.
Interesting. Well, and then Sam, there's a lot of Resident Evil stuff that we know is coming and also is rumored. There's next gen versions of Resident Evil 2, 3, and 7. Those are already announced to be coming.
Heck yeah.
And then the long rumored Resident Evil 4 remake.
Yep. Yeah. And that's a, you know, if that gets the treatment that 2 and 3 got, it'll be incredible. I mean, I can't imagine like that game. Well, you know, those games look so good and they added such cool content that they made them almost as good as Resident Evil 4, in my opinion. Resident Evil 4 doesn't really need anything. If it gets like that crazy, crazy graphics overhaul, it'll be amazing to play through that game again. And I play through that in almost every iteration that's come out. I play through the Switch version just because I love it so much. Like, I'm obsessed with Resident Evil 4 and I can't wait to see what they do.
Yeah, me neither. I actually haven't played it since it was originally released, so we have it'll feel like an entirely new game to me.
They released a Capcom Beat 'em Up bundle fairly recently, and sometimes these bundles and remakes sort of precede, they're tilling the earth for like an upcoming announcement, right? And so what I would love to see is Dungeons & Dragons is back and is more popular than ever, and I would like to see a new Dungeons & Dragons brawler from Capcom.
Do you have the collection of the two brawlers that was released last gen or two gens ago now?
No.
Well, it's Dungeons & Dragons Chronicles of Mystara, I think, which is the two.
Oh, yeah. Chronicles is Tower of Doom and what, Shadow over Mystara in one package.
Yes. And I just want to point out that it's on sale on Xbox for $3 right now.
Damn it, I gotta go.
I know. I know.
Oh, they're so good, dude. Like, they're, and like, but I don't think, I haven't played them in like a decade. So, like, maybe, you know, maybe it's rose colored glasses, but I have very fond memories of those games and they come up a lot on like best beat 'em up lists. And
yeah,
I don't know. Is that gonna be announced next week? No, it's not. but a man can dream.
A man can dream. Okay, another big publisher that's in kind of a weird spot right now is Ubisoft, and just the fact that they don't have anything announced on the horizon. They have some games that are announced, but nothing like with a release date. Like, what's their game for this fall? We don't know. We know they've got Avatar they're working on, and the new Avatar movie is coming out this December. Mm-hmm. I don't know. John, is the Avatar game coming out this year?
I don't know if it's coming out this year. I think that we'll hear about it an awful lot. If Ubisoft does anything, this is the game they'll hook everything to. I think it'll be this. It'll be Just Dance. I've heard rumors that we may finally see something Splinter Cell, but I can't separate those rumors from my own desire to see that game.
Yeah.
That every time I hear even a whiff of the fact that, they are working on it and they're going to show it this year, I'm like, oh my God. It feels like they've been so stubborn about that game that it almost feels like it will just run indefinitely. If they finally show something that is not just three green dots and the silly noise, and they actually show, yes, we're working on it and this is what it looks like, even if it's a remake of the first one or a mashup of the first two, so you get the cool two-player multiplayer thing, I'd be super happy. But honestly, what I'm expecting is a lot more of the footage we have on screen right now of things in Avatar. Lots of pretty grass.
Yeah.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, you, like EA, Ubisoft just has a ton of games that have been announced, some for a very, very long time that we just haven't gotten any updates on. Don't know what the status of them is. There's a sequel to Mario plus Rabbids, which Sam, I can't remember. We were laughing about the subtitle, but it escapes me right now.
It's called Spark of Hope.
I think that's right. Where is that game that was revealed at E3 last year? No updates since then. There's the Prince of Persia remake that's just been in development hell. I don't
that
know
got,
why they
that
can't.
Got delayed. The Rabbids game has not been delayed though, and I would expect that this.
Yeah, we'll
get that game this year.
The Rabbids one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll come out this year.
I think that's one of Nintendo's gap fillers with Breath of the Wild delayed. That and Splatoon.
I was going to make that point too. And then there's Skull and Bones, which we've had rumors that recently that it's not dead. It's actually still being worked on.
Well, there's leaked gameplay.
Oh, that's segment. Right. That's what it was.
I watched that. It was like, this is a different game that looks near completion. So.
Ooh, I missed that. I'm going to have to find it now.
It's cool. I mean, it still looks like they talked about single player a lot, which I appreciated because it does look like, you know, the stuff I liked about Assassin's Creed 4.
I wonder if they're going to give it like I don't have a conspiracy theory that, oh, they actually did turn it into a full on Assassin's Creed game. But I wonder if they're doing some. Like it's going to be in that universe in some capacity or something as part of.
Sometimes your ship gets invaded by an assassin, just kills everybody so easily. Damon, I think you're still going through the list, but with Lucasfilm Games existing, when that label was announced, UB said they had an Indiana Jones game. And
UB has a Star Wars game.
Oh yeah, Star Wars game. Yes,
Machine Games under Bethesda has Indiana Jones game.
Yes, Machine Bethesda. Yes, that's right. Yeah. So the Star Wars game that UB has, we don't know anything about. So that would be like a ripe one for like, what is this? And did you mention the Amy Hennig one when we were talking about EA?
No, is that under EA?
I don't know.
I thought that was announced. That was announced by LucasArts.
It was out of
Amy Hennig studio. One got shut down ages ago, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I just like, could they have an in-house publishing label that's going to happen soon?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not sure who's making the Amy Hennig Star Wars game.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, UB Star Wars and Beyond Good and Evil. Yeah. I wanted to give that.
And then the other UB thing that we still haven't seen anything on is I forget what the games that have bits of everything in them are getting subtitled. Assassin's Creed Infinite? Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah,
The one that's everything mashed together.
Yeah,
I still like, I know it's real, but I still have a hard time believing it's real. So it's like, okay, well, we'll see.
That's the one that's supposed to be like full game as a service, I believe. We'll see.
That's what we need.
There is Square Enix, and Square Enix has so much that's announced coming down the pipeline. So much that's even supposed to be for this year. So Live Alive is in July. There's the Front Mission remakes, which is a very surprising announcement from earlier this year. That's supposed to come this summer. Forspoken is in October. They have the Dio Field Chronicle, which is like the current console take on what... Triangle Strategy is, so it's like a tactics game without the 2D HD pixel graphics.
Oh,
you got the RPG Star Ocean, the Divine Force coming this year. A new Valkyrie game, Valkyrie Elysium, All of that is supposed to come this year from Square Enix.
And don't forget, they are also publishing the extremely good Power Wash Simulator.
Wow, they're publishing that, huh? Wow.
Mark Medina loves that game.
There's also stuff that we know that's, you know, coming a little bit further out next year. There's, you know, Dragon Quest II HD 2D remake. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah. Dragon Quest XII is coming. At some point, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 will be revealed, but I would think Sony would probably want to have that for their own whenever they have their state of play.
Yeah. Oh, I think we'll get a trailer at some point for that this summer. At some reveal event. Yeah. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I agree. Then there's Final Fantasy 16 and Kingdom Hearts 4, but that was just announced, so maybe it's a little too early.
Well, Final Fantasy 16 stuff is that, you know, there's these like tweets from the Japanese development team. They're like, oh, get ready to see the trailer soon. Get ready to see more of this game. So like that is really imminent now.
Yeah. But again, I would bet that'd be under Sony's event because the reveal was at Sony's event already.
Or 16 too.
What? Final Fantasy 16. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think of that as a Sony game anymore. I think they're going to push it hard on PC and Xbox. We'll see.
We'll see.
I don't think the same thing about 7.
You think it'll just be...
That's a Sony one, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk Xbox and Bethesda. That's on Sunday, June 12th. And talk about someone who needs a win, because after a very strong 2021, 2022 has been very, very quiet on the Xbox front. They currently have no first-party games scheduled for release this year. As of right now, as of this taping. Starfield and Redfall delayed into 2022. So, John, what do you think is going to be their like big focus at their showcase?
Well, I do think they are still going to focus on Starfield in a big way, because it is by far the thing people are most excited about. I think we'll see gameplay, because we haven't seen gameplay of Redfall yet, right? We've only seen the CG trailer, I think.
Yeah.
So gameplay of Redfall. I wouldn't be surprised if the Gears of War collection rumors weren't true. Mm. Like, I think that's pretty much a sure thing. Probably in Unreal, it'll probably become the showcase game for Unreal 5 coming out of whatever the, you know, if it is in event season, I mean, it'll look spectacular, right? That that franchise is so synonymous with that engine. It'd be kind of interesting to see that kind of like rebooted with like all the new effects turned on. I don't know. I mean, they're sitting on so many studios now and it's like none of them have shown anything.
I know. Yeah, it's just like they've made so many strong acquisitions, but they just have a really hard time getting their games out the door.
That doesn't mean that they won't just show awesome trailer after awesome trailer this summer.
Yeah.
You know, like nothing will stop them from showing more of Perfect Dark and more of anything Bethesda has.
I mean,
you know, I have a dark horse pick for the big Xbox game.
What's that?
So they don't just own Bethesda, they own Obsidian too. Mm-hmm. And Obsidian announced Avowed years ago, which was a big first-person role-playing game, Skyrim-like role-playing game that's set in the Pillars of Eternity universe, which is like, if you had a Venn diagram of like, you know, things that Justin Davis is interested in, it would be a circle. It was like, because Pillars of Eternity is freaking rad and the game world is rad, but there are these isometric RPGs, which are kind of niche now, right? And so to give that universe another chance and put it in a flavor of role-playing game and game that's a little bit more mainstream and mass market at this point. And Obsidian, you know, they did Outer Worlds. They, you know, if we want to go further back than that, they did New Vegas. Like, they know how to make some of the best first person RPGs on earth. Like, I think Avowed could secretly be like a big AAA. Like, this might be an opportunity to turn it into a tentpole for Microsoft.
Mm.
So Microsoft also has another set of things that excite people announcements that do align with the fall, which is like what's going to be on Game Pass. And that could be really, really comprehensive. It could be the third party games that you care about could basically be on Game Pass, you know, like big stuff, you know, whatever it could be any. I have no idea because of like the weird ways things are working out. But like Call of Duty and, you know, just a bunch of like weird options out there.
Mm. Sure.
I think there's also Id that we've not heard from for a while.
Id, yeah.
Quake is about due getting like a big overhaul. I mean, the Quake Champions, they've been playing. Is it Champions? What's the arena thing that it was Champions, right? I mean, it's got a following, but it never really popped the way they want it to. Giving a full style Doom 2016 style makeover for Quake, I'd be into that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to mention too with Warner Brothers, the Mortal Kombat DC fighting game stuff.
What, Injustice?
Yeah, there could easily be a Mortal Kombat this year. Like that's way within the nether realms of possibilities.
I guess.
Oh, I see you there.
That's pretty good. I guess it has been 3 years since Mortal Kombat, what, 12? Is that the one they're
11.
On?
Yeah,
and 11. There was a movie. It prints money. I mean, these are fighting
games. Do you think it would be a numbered Mortal Kombat game, or do you think it would be some kind of in between?
I think so. I think it's most likely that it's an Injustice year, and then there's this DC fandom aspect of the summer where it's like, that could be a DC game that's like at that. You know, that's like a summer game prediction I have, but like, really, if I were in NetherRealms, I'd be like trying to get a Mortal Kombat out as soon as possible. I think it's like Mortal Kombat is in a renaissance right now and people love it. DC is not so much, but it's getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're starting to run long on time.
Okay.
Sam, is there anything you wanted to point out about Nintendo? We know that they've got Splatoon 3, Xenoblade Chronicles 3. They also don't have their own event announced as of right now. They've got Bayonetta 3, and then Advance Wars Reboot Camp was delayed until sometime later this year.
Those are all of them. I think you nailed the ones that we can expect this year. But Nintendo always has an unexpected game. That's a big fall game or a big surprise. And last year it was Metroid Dread. So that turned out great.
I think we're going to get a Mario movie trailer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because that's supposed to be out this December.
Or maybe it got delayed.
It did get delayed.
Yeah, but we'll hear more about that. And the Nintendo Land will be something that I think we will probably hear more about now that it's coming to America.
You mean Super Nintendo World?
Whatever it's called. You know,
Nintendo Land was a game for the Wii U.
Don't Nintendo Land splain me, Damon.
Commando.
On that note, I'm going to share my screen.
Damon is going live. Go. Watch stream.
Can everyone see the September 1999 issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly?
Justin mentions this issue sometimes.
Yeah.
Is this the I'm still pulling up the screen. Is this the 9999 one?
It is.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is one of like 10 issues that made a core memory in my brain.
Aww.
This was I worked on magazines from 1991 until 2007. And then a few years later, I did a year. I ran GamePro for a year. But out of all of those years of putting out magazines, I think this issue is my favorite individual issue of a magazine I ever worked.
Interesting.
Because of Dune 2000?
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly why. That and the Final Fantasy movie details that were inside.
Well, it's a big question right on the cover. The biggest 24 hours in entertainment history. But actually, after reading the issue, that's actually a quote from Peter Moore.
Peter Moore quote. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter Moore was, I don't know if you remember this era of Peter Moore, but he was a soundbite machine at this point. Like, he totally. Was just like the pithy, snappy, like every time he was on stage. And like, that guy could sell me anything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's so enthusiastic and genuine. And I've spent some time with him. I've interviewed him a few times. He has the best stories about this period. Yeah. But the reason this cover is, and what we're looking at doesn't really do the physical magazine justice, because all that orange is fluorescent orange ink.
Nice.
Yeah. The reason it was this is because in magazines, we would send the cover separately than the rest of the magazine. And there's a photo shoot of the Dreamcast that's inside that I'll talk about in a little bit. But the Dreamcast as a thing to put on the cover was not a particularly interesting looking object, right?
I mean, that's very gray.
It was a gray square. And we just couldn't make it look good. So we came up with this idea, and we were just going to do the swirl because they were really leaning into this, and we made it. And our circulation team freaked out. Like, a lot of the people that worked on this issue remember this, because they would be like, you know, it was in the magazine business. It was very kind of old school. And like, there's a lot of ties to, because magazine printing and distribution is very tied to the trucking business. And it all feels a little bit like there was a little tinge of kind of like maybe mob stuff attached to things around magazines because of the trucking stuff. And it was, I was in Chicago, so everyone had the, you know, strong Chicago accents and they all smoked heavily. And I'd be in these meetings with these people that were like, you go and do a, can I swear on Game Scoop?
We'll bleep it out.
Yeah. You go and put a orange cover out, that'll never sell. And, you know, like, I mean, if you put that out and it doesn't sell, I'm not taking responsibility. It's all on you. I'm like, so we were like, okay, but we're going to make it fluorescent orange, not just orange. This ended up being, and I think until the magazine, well, it still technically exists, but until this version of the magazine, I think this was the biggest selling issue of EGM ever.
Wow.
It was also nearly 400 pages. This was when magazines were thick.
Yeah.
In Q4, you know?
Yeah. They got thicker and thicker throughout the year, huh? And then it was like Q4. Yeah.
So, you know, we had a lot of pages to play with. So that this, you know, this is a 27 page Dreamcast feature that we did.
Yeah. Wow.
Because we had all of the launch, we got access to the hardware, all of the launch games. We interviewed Peter and the team and, you know, we talked to a lot of the people that had, you know, that were making games for the Dreamcast. It was like the full thing. It was the, you know, the stuff that they were planning on doing with the internet. And we spent a fortune on this. The photo shoot inside, we took each of the, because remember the Dreamcast launched with all these, like, I don't know why they did it. It launched with a fishing controller and like, right. Well, all these devices. So we hired this, I can't remember the guy's name. It's in the issue somewhere. This photographer in New York who took all of the accessories and photographed them in sort of contextually appropriate places in New York. So we took the fishing controller to a fish market in New York and just sort of dropped it in with the fish.
Ew.
And I mean, yeah, we're going to see that in just a second here.
I mean, but hold on, not for nothing, but you don't take a fishing rod to a fish market. Like on a boat, that would make sense.
It was, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But that we spent.
Oh, there he is.
There's me, long haired me.
Yeah, there's a letter from the editor, John Davidson himself. This is an ad for a game I don't know, Fighting Force 2, but I just wanted to point out just being just terribly bad CG render of this character. It's just
that looks so cool at the time.
Remember, this was a period where the game graphics were getting to the point where everyone thought they looked so good that you could just use the graphics from the games in advertising. And there would be like, I don't know if this one says it, but very often they would say, actual screenshot.
Yeah.
And it'd be actual, like, screenshot.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it looks terrible. Like it. Yeah. I think IGN gave this a 3 point something, Fighting Force 2. And then I don't get this. This is a Levi's ad. Mm-hmm. Is this person famous? I don't know who this is.
I don't think so.
It's just a guy's face, but it's an ad for Levi's. I don't know. 90s ads, man.
This is when games were beginning to be pop culture. It would just be like anything went.
This is like the pop punker with money look.
You printed an angry letter here, John, in your letters section. Someone said, I am disgusted with your magazine's bias against Sega. In your latest issue, you praise Nintendo and Sony for systems that not only have you never played, but you've never even seen. Disgusting. Is this what you call journalistic integrity? Informing your readers without bias? Inexcusable. Just like Elden Ring. I will never buy, borrow, or read another issue of your has-been publication, and I'm not the only one. That's an angry.
This is a letter that we printed that had a Sega thing on the cover.
We lost Justin.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently. Sorry, we lost Justin. Justin.
Yeah. Is that awesome. Well, let's shave it for the show, I guess.
Do we want to keep on going and see if we can make it back in?
Because we're running low on time.
And because this is a kind of a John segment anyway.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to keep going. Okay. I like this letter about Perfect Dark. They're really excited for it, but they're excited about the wrong features. Says, I'm so psyched about Perfect Dark. I read your preview 10 times. Me and my buddy went up to our local video game store and bought a Game Boy camera just for the upcoming game. The possibilities are endless. You could play as any character in the world, your neighbors, the president, and just about anything you could think of. But the thing that gets me is the quality of the picture. Have you seen the results of a face map? Blah, blah, blah. So they're talking about you were supposed to be able to scan your face into Perfect Art and that feature got cut, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're back. He's back. I know. Yeah, we talked about it and then we decided to go on without you. But now that you're back, it's great.
He's gone.
We lost him again.
Oh my, that's true.
Is that Kid Rock?
Well, this is my question. This is an ad for something called Toons.com, which is not something I remember and not something I could find any information about. But it says, check it out. Toons.com is for real. There's over a million song clips. Sam, over a million song clips. Song clips.
This is right before Napster. So you can see how Toons was completely gutted.
But then I don't reckon there's just a giant face of someone. And maybe it was a recognizable like rock star at the time. I don't know. John thinks maybe Kid Rock.
I don't know.
Power of suggestion. I think it's Kid Rock now.
You think it's Kid Rock?
I'm sorry. In the very, very small text in the bottom, Kid Rock appears courtesy of.
Nice.
Nice.
You did it.
Because I'm such a big Kid Rock fan.
Yeah. They call him.
Your magazine.
John Kid Rock Davison. I don't understand this ad for Battle Tanks Global Assault on Nintendo 64. It's a tank game, but in the ad, it's like this painting of the tank terrorizing Oz and Dorothy and the Tin Man. There's not even like any text that connects the game to the Wizard of Oz.
Well, Damon, let me tell you about public domain and a little thing.
Okay.
Because we're experiencing it today with the horror movie Winnie the Pooh that was announced. Yeah. This is what happens. This is what is going to happen to all of your beloved childhood characters. Watch out, DuckTales, they're coming for you.
Okay, a news announcement. PlayStation emulator arrives in stores. Remember Bleem?
No.
Yeah.
Now.
Bleem was a PlayStation emulator that was actually sold in stores for a time that allow you to emulate PlayStation games on your PC and even like up-res them.
Yeah,
it was like a real retail thing.
It was crazy. They sold it in stores.
I can't imagine for very long though.
No, Sony sued them, and I think the first time Sony lost, but then Sony sued them again, and Bleem just couldn't afford it. They couldn't keep paying the lawyer fees. So they eventually went out of business. But then some of the key people in Bleem went to work for PlayStation.
Do you know why it's called Bleem?
No. Are you going to tell
us? It's because I know why. It's because it's meal backwards.
Of course.
Yeah.
Sam, check it out. This is about them releasing the album on CD for the first time.
They had to re-record everything. I don't know if it was for this release, but I think for digital, they had to make a sound alike. Before Taylor Swift, everybody, Buckner and Garcia did it first to get their rights back.
Yeah.
Damon, where did you get your copy of this LP?
I mean, I got it for Christmas around this time.
Your boy Sam Claiborne hooked you up with an LP copy about 5 years ago.
Well, LP. Yeah. I got the CD as a Christmas gift around this time. I don't know, John, I don't know who did the interview, but someone here interviewed Buckner and Garcia for this piece.
It was probably Crispin Boyer, who was a features editor. He would go and track a lot of this stuff down, because like this was around the time as well where we were kind of pushing the boundaries of the stuff we wanted to cover. So rather than just doing game releases, we were doing kind of the pop culture stuff around it. We also around this time was when we did a big pinball feature and an issue around this time as well, because we were talking about get this. 99 was
that's when because of Pinball 2000, right? Because they were actually doing the video integration at that time.
And it was also this was the beginning of game preservation being a thing that people thought was probably going to have to become important,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For anybody that hasn't heard that Pac-Man Fever album, it's legitimately fantastic and hilarious and wonderful.
It's a bunch of
songs about arcade machines. Each is about a specific arcade machine. Froggy's Lament about Frogger. Ode to a Centipede about Centipede. Pac-Man Fever was a top 10 hit, Billboard hit. Do the Donkey Kong is fantastic.
That might be my favorite. Great. I love Defender. That one's great.
I like Hyperspace, which is about asteroids.
They're novelty
on the boat, and you're back in the race.
They're novelty songs, but they're surprisingly catchy. If anyone likes Weird Al Yankovic, you'll love Pac-Man Fever.
Yeah, they're recorded so well. It's great.
So an ad for GameStop, and I guess I never realized this was, it was just a brand of Babbage's at the time. And it was like the name of their online store for selling games.
Okay.
This is before it was retail. And what I think is interesting is that it's not GameStop.com, it's thegamestop.com.
And look how that graphic there is a clear internet 1999 website header. Isn't that great?
Absolutely.
Choose frames and you're going to see that exact thing.
Yep. John, maybe you can speak to this. Last minute updates. It says at the very last minute, almost literally, we got these new screenshots of Castlevania for Dreamcast that we had to share.
Yep. So what would happen? So magazines are sent in groups of 8 or 16 pages at a time. So when you're laying out the magazine, you have a thing called a flat plan, right? Which is like every single page in the magazine from the front cover to the back cover. So the cover is four pages, right? Inside and outside, front and back. And then inside is groups of 8 or 10 pages. And what you would do is the production editor would send batches of pages off when they were finished. And we would try and leave something to the end where we were, that was in a section where if something came back, because remember, like from when EGM went to print, to when it came out was about a month. So like by the time you got your hands on this issue, we'd almost finished the next one.
Wow.
Because the, you know, like a lot of it's to do with the distribution. So like they were all printed in like Michigan or something. Like EGM was printed in somewhere in the Midwest. And then all of the distribution is from there. So they put, you know, hundreds of thousands of copies on a magazine in trucks and ship them all over the country. And it takes ages for them to get out to the edges of the country. And that's why, you know, if you had a subscription, you got it a long time before where you would see it in stores. But pages like this were very often, it was one of two things. It was either we knew that there was something coming in late, so we would try and leave a page that we could do. Or sometimes what would happen is an advertiser that was booked would like not deliver their ad on time, or had backed out, or, you know, or we thought we were going to sell it and we didn't. And suddenly in this case, these partial ads were a real pain in the ass if you were the editor in chief, you'd have like, oh, great, I've got 2/3 of a page to fill. Fantastic. Like, because, you know, like everything that we've got needs either more or less than that. So sometimes it was filler. But in this case, I mean, you know, it was, you know, we were putting this huge feature together and the images didn't come in. And then this page would have been left over for some reason. And it would have been one of those, you know, the day before we went to print decisions where it's like, well, we've got these 8 screenshots. Let's just stick them on this 2/3 of a page.
Honestly, it's a clever solution.
Well, I should point out this Castlevania game for Dreamcast never came out. So, yeah, cool. They're printed. They talk about Square and Nintendo maybe working together again. Remember, this is 1999. There was some interest in Square Enix about the GameCube, but Square only put out one game for the GameCube, Crystal Chronicles. Although they put out a bunch of games for Game Boy Advance. This is an ad for something called World Girl, which was a show on Showtime's website, show.com. And I looked it up. It was like the first like web series animated in Flash. Mm. Never heard of it. Yeah. Okay, John, who's Quarterman?
At this time, it was probably me.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it usually the editor in chief just being Quarterman? Yeah. So it's like we're just one of those superheroes where the mantle's passed on.
The mantle was passed, but it wasn't the editor in chief. I took it on from Chris Johnston, who was the news editor. He was doing it before me. Hmm. I was also sushi for a while.
You can tell if it's John Davison if all the words for color have a U in them.
And I would use words like whilst, which I know whilst, you Americans don't use.
I guess I guess rumor itself would have a U in it, right?
Yeah, yes, that's true. Yes. That's true.
Yeah, so I
botched that joke.
I would write. There was this period of time I was writing Quarterman, and like I was when I first started on the magazine in '98. I was sushi for a couple of issues.
Interesting.
Ah, okay. Sushi, I don't know if I think I've talked about this in the past. Sushi was originally a role played by someone in the sort of early days of EGM. It was someone on staff who was always Sushi. But Sushi kind of evolved into, it was sort of a tryout identity for reviewers. Mm. because if you worked on the magazine, you weren't necessarily on the review crew right away. So we would cycle people through the sushi identity for a while to kind of like
feel it out,
get a feel for it, and playing a role. Because like being part of review crew, you were kind of playing a role. You were always playing like a version of yourself that was a little more, because you had, I think, at this point, maybe 140 words max to get your point across. And writing short is really hard. So people would practice as sushi. And then Quarterman was like, you know, it was just the stuff that we'd heard that we couldn't put out officially. So it was a lot of fun writing this, because sometimes it was just like, you know, back then my job was, a lot of it was just on the phone talking to people.
Yeah.
Well, you got the timelines were so different, right? Because it was like everything was always months in advance, and then because the cycle of the magazine was like, you know, it takes you a month to put it together, and then it's not on newsstands until a month after that. Sometimes this page was us just rolling the dice on things that we were fairly certain were going to happen.
Yeah. There is an interesting rumor here that Michael Jordan would be returning to video games, and actually in a golf game. And that Quarterman says he's heard that EA would be reviving the versus range, so it could be like Jordan versus Woods, which is a cool idea, but it never happened.
Cool.
That would have been cool. I might have made that up.
Clearly.
Well, this is what we were talking about the screenshots. You've got in your preview gallery, you've got Shinmu. It says this month, we've got several Shinmu screenshots here. We present a small Shinmu portrait gallery from Yu Suzuki's latest masterpiece. The amount of detail in these close-ups is startling. Each strand of hair, every minute facial whisker has been rendered with much natural finesse. And this is just exactly how people talk about like Unreal Engine 5 today.
Do you understand how insane it is to see those screenshots coming off of the PlayStation 1? It's mind-blowing. Well, it was ridiculous.
It would have been Dreamcast, but sure.
Well, no, but like this is following the PS1. Like that's what we were. Yeah, gotcha. Like this is the new thing.
Yeah.
Also, you're asking about Fighting Force 2. There it is. Look at it. I mean, it's spectacular.
It is really, really spectacular. So, speaking of Quake, this is an ad for Quake. It's just a bunch of raw meat, and it's startling to see it in a gaming magazine. But I should point out, this could be so much worse for this era. This could have been so much more gross.
Yeah.
So, I think this might have been a reference to a stunt that happened in the UK for it was Quake 1, because Jibs was the thing, right? Where everyone was talking about in Quake 1. They sent the review copies in I'm thinking in English now.
Ground beef?
Padded envelopes. Do you call them jiffy bags here?
No,
just you know, envelope. You know what it is? Envelope. Like a padded envelope that has the stuff. So a padded envelope full of raw minced ground beef.
Yeah.
And then inside the ground beef was a plastic bag that had the review copy of Quake in it. And they got into a lot of trouble because the envelope split.
Yeah. And this was Mad Cow era too.
Yeah. So like people would be getting these soggy, bloody envelopes arriving.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
No, thank you.
We've gotten ground beef sent to us before for Bullet Storm.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
They sent us ground beef with bullet casings and hair in it in a very tasteless marketing campaign.
There's an ad for WrestleMania 2000 that I just want to point out. The quote, "The new king enters the ring," is from GamePro. And I'm just curious, John, if that bothered you when you had to print a competitor's quote.
We would get really upset about stuff like that.
I imagine. Good quote. We're running out of time here. This is the big Dreamcast feature, the 20-something page. So you did your photo shoot in New York?
Yeah. So, and the guy just took it around and he like, you know, look, it's a wheel in a street.
Well, here's the
fisheye lenses were like.
fishing controller with fish, you know?
That's so good.
Fisheye lenses were like totally hip and like part of skate culture at the time. And this is very reminiscent of that hip.
Thank you, Beastie Boys.
Yeah. Ricky Powell. Yeah,
this is just you interviewed people asking them if they're going to buy a Dreamcast. People from all over the country. Five launch games you must buy. You said Soul Calibur, Sonic Adventure, Ready to Rumble, NFL 2K, and House of the Dead 2.
So the only one in hindsight that I wonder why we said it is House of the Dead 2.
Really? I thought you would say Ready to Rumble.
Ready to Rumble was pretty rad.
Ready to Rumble was awesome. Oh.
It's a keyboard on a phone.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah. They also have a big photo shoot of, I guess, the whole EGM crew playing Dreamcast on their couch.
So I basically lived in the office when we were putting this issue out. Like, I spent 3 days straight there. I slept under my desk. So our office was in Oak Brook, Illinois, which is the town where the McDonald's campus is, where they, you know, do all the training. It's also got the McDonald's in it, where they sell every burger McDonald's has ever sold. They still have it. But there's a mall there. And it got to a point where we were going to the mall when it opened to buy underwear because we'd been sleeping in the office for days. Oh, my gosh. Because... And it was not because of the Dreamcast. It was at this time of year, the review crew section nearly, like, if I tried to do this now, it would literally kill me because we would get all these games in and it was the same group of people. And we had four people on every game.
Yeah.
Three people on every game.
It was four here. Four. Except the handheld stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, we tried to beat this stuff. So you'd be there all night trying to beat something.
That's crazy. That's too much.
I like the reader review section. You printed some reader reviews for Super Smash Brothers. The reader said, "Super Smash Brothers kicks every form of ass that exists."
Like different species?
Yeah. Electric mouse, for example.
Every form of ass.
Okay, a full page ad for 1-900 preview. It says you can listen to Quarterman Gossip before it's an EGM. Did you record that?
I don't know who did the audio for that, but as I recall, we made quite a lot of money out of this.
I mean, it's $1.49 a minute.
How could you not?
That's insane.
Call and test your knowledge of video game trivia. Pretty good. I would have totally called that.
Look at that fantastic controller.
Yeah, it's a boomerang.
Yeah.
Okay, we end with a quote. This is sort of like the final word, sort of editorial section. And John, you said, I just want to know if you agree with yourself at the time or if you think things have changed. You said this time, you're getting really frustrated with how lame softcos are about taking risks with content. There's some cool games coming out in the next 6 months. But there are an awful lot of things that have just made me think, yuck, wimps. Tiny Tank is a perfect example. The soundtrack, the best bit of the game when we saw it 6 months ago, was deemed too adult, so it has been toned down, thus making the game another generic, crappy action shooter. This and things like Thrill Kill getting canned, the fact that more interesting ideas get ignored, dating sims, etc., are proof of rampant conservatism among console publishers in America. Few companies will take a risk, and we end up with boring, generic platform nonsense like Tarzan.
There was a lot of very generic stuff at this time. I honestly think Sega helped with the Dreamcast and, you know, because they did take some risks with that launch. But this was a period where, remember, PlayStation was so big and so popular that it was kind of like what happened with the Wii 8 years later, right? Where
yeah.
It was just any old crap got shoveled onto the thing because there were so many people that, you know, when the install base is 100 million, you know, you could sell a reasonable number of things just sort of by accident. And it meant that there was just the creativity was just getting quashed and it was drowning out a lot of the other stuff. And yeah, it was, I do think, you know, escalating development costs have changed that. I think between you've got the indie scene on one end and the fact that a AAA game costs hundreds of millions of dollars now, this is not a problem anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely like we're right on the cusp of like digital distribution in 99. Right. And then like Steam and then various eShops would sort of like solve this problem and allow indies a place.
Yeah.
But when everything had to be distributed at retail, like, it was a weird year, weird few years.
My favorite shovelware era is Game Boy Advance because it not only got like a bad version of good games, it got a lot of licensed bad games, and then it got like the video cartridges of Nickelodeon shows and everything. Oh, yes. It's like that was right before the iPhone. And so imagine every app that could possibly come out would just come out on the Game Boy Advance. It's a fascinating time.
I like the Nintendo DS era of shovelware. In the wake of like Brain Age, every publisher wanted sort of like software, and Ubisoft had like a quit smoking game that they released.
Your solitaire options were many.
Yeah, that's true. The back cover is an ad for the Sega Dreamcast that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But 9999.
None of that can make sense.
It's super edgy.
It is super edgy. That is the September 1999 issue of EGM that John was editor-in-chief of. I'm going to stop sharing my screen. Thank you for sharing your insight with us there, John. I know we're running long. If people want to do a lightning round of video game 20 questions, or do we not have time?
I'm good.
Okay. Tina, yeah. John, good?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
The heck else are we going to do?
Work?
No.
I've been sleeping under my desk for 3 days.
Did you buy some underwear? All right, our suggestion this week comes from Armand in Eugene, Oregon. Let the questioning begin.
Eugene, Oregon.
We usually do, could this game have appeared in the issue of EGM that just went through?
Let's start with that one.
Yeah.
Could this game have appeared in that issue of EGM? No.
Okay. So 2000 or later.
Or maybe, well, yeah, I guess anything even very late 99 could have still have been previewed in there. So yeah, 2000s or later. Is this game available on the Nintendo Switch?
No.
Is this a platform exclusive?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
We won the game because he didn't answer with a yes or no. Isn't that what happens when we get the game name wrong?
Ugh.
And we win the game?
Was that the consensus?
Oh, yeah.
No, well, I wouldn't say it's split, but it was like,
but there it's
was
not poll. Like, it was, it, you know, we won a respectable portion of the vote, but it was like 25-75. So the commission has spoken.
There was no option for Sam won, but Tina and Justin didn't.
That's very,
I know. Dude, I would have been happy with that, honestly.
You
know, I wouldn't have been because it was on me because I said, you guys can make the call.
It actually is on you because I specifically said, I don't trust my memory. And you still gave me the tie breaking votes as well.
Yep.
So, well, that was a twisted way of appropriating blame, but I'll take it. Yes, I did. Did this game come out on a disc format?
Yes.
That eliminates cartridge handhelds, JD.
It's philosophy.
There's two JDs here.
That's true. You meant you, Justin.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, did this game come out on a PlayStation console originally?
No, that's 5.
So Xbox or PC possibly,
or Nintendo or GameCube.
GameCube or Wii.
Okay. Did it originally come out on an Xbox platform?
Yes.
Ugh. Weird. Well, there's not many of those.
That's true.
Is it part of a series?
No.
What?
Ooh. So a one-off wasn't exclusive and then was ported to other platforms, but not a series.
Something, it may be something that came to PC.
I like in these wide four-ups, everyone can see my hands now.
I know. It's super counting. Weird because I immediately jumped to things like Cameo and, you know, like launch games for the Xbox, but
yeah, me too. I'm thinking like it's like Oni, the game that Bungie made before Halo. Although wait, I think that might not have even been an Xbox game.
So we don't know if it's Xbox or 360 or One.
No,
right?
Not yet.
Ugh, I don't even know if I want to go that way quite yet.
Or like maybe the indie route could have been like an arcade.
That's
era
smart.
Thing.
Smart. That's a really good one. Yeah, because Bionic Commando Rearmed would be. Yeah,
but it's we
know.
Technically...
Well, wait, hold on. We know it was on a disc, though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, did Microsoft publish this or develop it?
No.
No.
Third party Xbox game.
Was this developed in Japan?
Yes.
Ooh, it's blue. It's Blue Dragon.
Yeah, Blue Dragon or a Capcom.
Should we do genre then? See, like, is it a role playing game?
Yes, that's 10.
What's weird is that we've had Blue Dragon, but there was...
It's never stopped Damon in the past.
I know. I think having it for our fourth time would be great. Well, there's another Capcom game that we probably won't be able to come up with the name of. That was
Have we said the title of this game yet?
No.
Oh,
it's not Blue Dragon.
So it's not Blue Dragon.
So it's a role-playing game developed in Japan on Xbox. There can't be many of those.
Yeah.
There was another one in the Blue Dragon era, like when Xbox was trying to court.
Oh God, yeah.
Square Enix, yeah.
Lost Odyssey? Did I make that up? I don't know. I can't remember. Blue Dragon is the one I remember well.
I think
it was Lost Odyssey. It was that whole sort of Mistwalker was going to make Xbox big in Japan stuff, right?
Yep.
So who published those? Are those Square Enix games? All of them?
I see.
No, but that's they
might
the
have been
that left. It was the guys that left Square, right?
Yeah, I can't remember. They may have been Microsoft published, in which case, you know, it can't be any of those games. We also don't know, like, you know, it could easily be an Xbox One game, or, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
It's not part of a series. I'm really surprised it's not Blue Dragon.
Would you, how about this? I can, we could ask if it's fantasy or sci-fi or something like that, because that would eliminate a game we're calling Lost Odyssey.
I don't even know.
Is this set in a fantasy universe?
Yes.
There is that Capcom one. There was not Asura's Wrath. The other.
Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma.
I think that's a PS first.
It was PlayStation, right? It wasn't Xbox.
Yeah, PS4, but maybe it's 360 first.
I always associate it with Xbox, but I could just be making that up.
Sure. So that's a Capcom game?
Yeah, right?
Is this published by Capcom?
No.
Rip.
That eliminates a lot of games. Wait, we did ask the Square Enix one, right?
No.
Should we?
Did they do any Xbox exclusive RPGs?
I don't think so, right?
But you asked if it was published by Microsoft, so we know it's not one of those. So it's got to be a third party. So, like, it'd be nice to know what it was. And we're kind of running out of options. It's not going to be, I don't think, Konami, right?
It could be, I mean, you know, so it could be something like a Disgaea game. Oh, it's not part of a series, but, like, you know, like NIS or something like that. Or, you know, I don't know.
That's a good call.
I can't think of any Square...
Why would they do it on an Xbox, maybe PC or something too? But, like, just there's a total mystery around this right now. It's hard to explain why.
Yeah, why would they do that exclusively if it's not Microsoft published?
And sorry, the answer to the fantasy question is that it is a fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be? Were there any online games like Phantasy Star, Sega?
Yeah, I don't know. Who can remember?
That's sci-fi, though, even though because it's fantasy with a PH.
That's space fantasy.
Yeah.
Would you call this an action RPG, Damon?
No.
Wow. So tourneys. Tourney based.
Tourneys. Yeah.
I don't like this. I don't like this.
What about the style of graphics? Would that help everybody if it was like anime style? Because could there be like.
I mean, you know, so there's Tales of Symphonia is on GameCube, and it's part of a franchise, so never mind.
Maybe it's a spin-off RPG, like, but he wouldn't call it because it's not part of the series, like Yakuza Like a Dragon.
That's clearly part of it. That's like Yakuza 7, right? It's got a number in the title, but yeah, maybe something like that. Oh boy. I need to know. We don't even know. I don't even know what like generation it's from. I'm assuming it's a 360 game.
I'm fine to ask that. I don't think we're going to get this one.
How many questions do we have left, Damon?
You have 5 questions and a guess.
Okay. I don't know why that I do nothing differently with that information now that I know that. Okay. So is this a 360 game?
Yes. Xbox? Okay. And that's 15.
Thank goodness.
I mean, this is a good chance I have that game in my closet behind me. I had all those 360
RPGs. The good news is that we know it's a 360 game. The bad news is that that's by far the biggest library out of Xbox and Xbox One.
There was, so it's not Lost Odyssey. There was a game, it's Eternal something. I don't know, man. I can't remember these. You know, there is Eternal Darkness on the GameCube.
Was there a From game that might have been an Xbox? Probably not,
what,
right?
What were they doing in that era? Kingsfield Armored Core?
Kingsfield, right, yeah.
Is it a horror game as well on top of a RPG? Does it have horror elements, I guess I should say? No.
No. No.
Yeah, we do need to know the developer.
Should we ask if it's received well? Because if it's like a big, well, didn't get sequels.
Could be like, oh, but it's Japanese made. I thought I was onto something with Jade Empire there for a sec.
I know, right. There's all these other RPGs.
But it did go to other platforms. We didn't establish what other platforms though, did we?
No.
It just seemed like open.
Yeah. I mean, there's an assumption that eventually everything just kind of comes to everything. Mm. What about like Panzer? You know, so Panzer Dragoon Saga was on the 90s and Saturn. Yeah, you got me thinking about like Sega games, Sam, and like other companies like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's highly likely that it's Sega or Square Enix.
Ni no Kuni was on PS3, right? Yeah, and it's part of a series.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We got left. Four. We got four left.
We need a hint.
Damon, should we ask if it was received well? Does that even help?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it was. I don't really know.
Or if it's Damie game, would that help?
It would be helpful to know if it was like a strategy RPG, which makes it a Damie game. I don't think Damon's into traditional turn-based RPGs very much.
Man, I can't even think of a strategy RPG on 360, period.
Yeah, I mean, there's all the Disgaea ones, but and then they made other, you know, like Lapuzel Tactics and all these other.
I think he gave
like,
us basically that it's turn-based, so, I mean, which applies to that type of game too, so that's good to know.
That's a good point. Our only chance is to start asking about developers, I think.
Do we do the E3 developer question?
I was thinking about that one. Like if they have a showcase.
Oh.
Sure.
Yeah. Has this developer had a showcase at E3?
Has this developer had a showcase at E3? No.
Because the publisher has.
Well, you know what we mean. We mean publisher.
What, you asked developer?
Well, developers don't have showcases. You know what we mean.
What publisher?
At this time, probably.
Because everyone has a showcase.
Well, Square was doing them regularly back then, right?
Well, the at this time is really tripping me up because I think Square didn't start theirs until recently, didn't they? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be like
didn't Atlas he ask or Square? Square. Oh, yeah.
Sega wasn't doing anything at this point, right?
No, Konami always had their weird one.
Oh yeah, that weird thing. Yeah.
Did Atlas do one or Natsume?
Maybe with Sega. Atlas always had a big booth at E3.
I think it's the game that Justin's been thinking of this whole time. It's just that's not the name of it.
The thing we think he's Lost Odyssey, but isn't.
Yeah. I think it's Eternal something. I don't know. Eternity something. Maybe. This is 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row.
The entire audience is banging their head against the wall in frustration at us, right?
It happens sometimes.
Although that game, I think specifically. Well, no, never mind. I get confused with Dragon's Dogma, which is more of an action RPG. But this one is kind of a generic JRPG, 4/360 fantasy. I can picture the screenshots of it.
Me too. Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I never played it. I did play Blue Dragon.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know who published that or who made it. So it doesn't really help. And
it's not like Eternal Sonata, is it? Is that a different thing? Did I make that up?
I remember that name, but I think it's something else.
I don't know. I give up.
Do you want to ask if the word Eternal is in the title? Like when we're getting down to the bone
here? Ask about the title.
I mean, Well, but there's no rule again. But gentlemen's rules say that we choose not to ask about the title. Otherwise, we would have asked about Shadow last week.
Yeah, or like, so it doesn't start with an E.
We already have to do that. Mm. It takes like five questions, John, to narrow down the letter of the game, the name that the game starts with, if you wanted to do that.
I'll say this. There's no rule against asking the same question twice.
Did we name? Is that true?
Yeah.
So wait, does that mean we said the name of the game?
Yeah.
What did we say?
We said a bunch of stuff. We said, I think it's Eternal something. Eternal, I want to look it up.
It's not
the Eternal Sonata.
I don't. I'm not even. Yeah, I'm not even sure that those are two words that are bouncing around in my brain. That, like, I don't even know if that's the name of a video game. I think it is.
Or had you not mentioned the name of that other?
No. Should we ask if we've already said it then?
Yeah.
The insinuation is that we did.
Have we said the name of the game?
Yes.
Is it Eternal Sonata?
Yes.
Justin.
Amazing.
It is Eternal Sonata, published by Namco Bandai in 2007. Namco.
Wow. That's so difficult.
But developed by Tri-Crescendo, which I think this is the only game it ever published on its own or developed on its own.
Tri-Crescendo.
Yeah. It's provided assistance on a lot of other games.
Yeah.
And then a year later, it came to PS3. And IGN gave this an 8.3.
Wow.
Well done, Justin. Where did you even get that name from?
I don't know.
I mean, you guys said, there aren't many JRPGs that are 360 exclusive at that time. There was
Blue Dragon. The one we were thinking of?
It wasn't Eternal Sonata.
Another one, right?
Yeah, I think I was thinking. I'm looking up the box art now. It was not Eternal Sonata because that's more like anime style.
I know. Yeah, it was a more realistic fantasy game. How do we even look it up?
Oh, it is Lost Odyssey.
There you go.
Because that's the Mistwalker. They were co-developer on it.
Yeah.
Brutal. It was a push to try to get the Japanese audience.
And then, I can't believe it.
Fun fact, Eternal Sonata, the game takes place in the mind of composer Chopin while he's on his deathbed.
I remember that background. Yeah.
That's the whole conceit of the game.
I always thought that was part of the, there's another, you mentioned the series already. But I thought it was part of that other anime series.
The Symphonia, Tales of Symphonia. Because they got that music. It's like a symphony, sonata. Yeah, of course.
Well, nicely job. You got there in the end. Thank you for the suggestion, Armand and Eugene, Oregon. Viewers and listeners, if you have your own suggestions for 20 questions, email them to me at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. And that is all the scoops that we have for this week. John, thank you so much for sitting in with us. Maybe we can have you on monthly as we look at these old EGMs, because I think your insight was super interesting there. Thank you also to Tina. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Justin. Thank you to Alan working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.